arrive there, and they cared for about an hour, like always. As I said, I'm quite a box brain type person, so I'm like, okay, you cared for like 15 to 20 minutes max. As everybody has their coffee, you come and sit down, then we start with the real stuff. That's community. They just went on and on and on, and people are then leaving, going to the shop, coming back, and I'm just like, when are we starting this thing? And yeah, I manifested in that community. It was difficult. But the thing about that is, and then afterwards we would sit in a big circle, and every week would be something in the line of this. So how's everyone doing? Just that, every week. And then you share how your week was, and then somebody wasn't doing well, and they loved on one another. And then something of my heart started to grow quite fond of these people. And I started to love these people, love well. And I remember receiving a phone call one night from him. And it was 2 or 3, and it was 2 o'clock. It was around 2 o'clock in the morning, and he phones me. Says, "Henry, we need to drive." I'm like, "Where?" I'm like, "One of our comm members, he just moved to Wellington. His wife is stuck in one of the townships in Cape Town, and his dad, her father-in-law, is busy beating her, and her child is with her. We need to go." Now, he can't go, because if he leaves now, his only job that he provides for that family, they're very, very, very poor, he will lose his job and they won't have any provision. And he just phoned me, "Would you come with me?" I'm like, "What?" I drove to his house, we climbed in his car, 2 o'clock in the morning, we went through what's the place called? Grassy Park. I don't know if you know that place. It's quite dodge, but I like dodge places. It's quite exciting. I wasn't married then, so. And we went in there, and it wasn't any lights, camera, actions or whatever happening on that side. We picked her up, we drove her back, and for the next month or two, she and that baby stayed in their house until they could find a job that they could move into their own house. And they didn't live in a big, it was just a glorified flat, 2-bedroom place. They stayed with them, that whole family, 2 families in a flat. And they said, whatever it takes. And I saw something of a love there, of generosity, that their car is not their own, their time is not their own, nothing is their own. And it was just like poured out for the kingdom of God. And I look at that and back till today, and I'm like, God, work in me that type of love. Work in me that no matter what, over and beyond what people can think, that we just give of who we are and what we are and what we have. That is what God actually asks of us. And yeah, and I think maybe the last story on this, and then the last one is quite short, is, and I think it was about three years ago, we invited a couple that they just moved to Wellington from another Josh Jen. And they weren't even in our congregation. They were joining the Wellington PM congregation. We just thought, they're young, we are young, they're newly married, we're newly married, they're moving into a new town, just come and have dinner with us. And they asked us, what can we bring? Said, yeah, bring juice or something, we'll provide food, and you guys can come and, yeah, spend the night with us, and it's going to be awesome, and we're going to go ahead and whatever. And I remember them arriving there, and Brigitte received them, and they came in, and we asked them only for juice, okay? And then they came in there with 2 Checkers bags. And I'm like, are you making food? Did you leave you arrange something else? I'm like, what is busy happening here? And then they start to unpack the bags. Like, we don't have a relationship with these people. I know his name, and I still don't know her name till today. Like, and I don't know these people. And they take out two types of juices and sparkling water. Then they bought us both chocolate, just for saying thank you for inviting us. Then they took out dessert for the evening, so then all the dessert came out of those bags. And it's not like they were quite rich or anything like that. They're newly married. He works for himself, so that's not a lot of money. And she was a teacher. That's a lot of money. And And then all of a sudden, plants started to come out of the bags. I'm like, plants? Y'all know for your house that you guys stay in. And it was just so over and above. And we were like twitching of the amount of things. And there was more stuff. I just can't remember. It was two bags of stuff. And we cared and so on. But that was the one impression that we look back. I'm like, they didn't need to do that. There was no reason for them to do that. If they brought two juices, it would have been fine. But it's just like more and more and more and more. Why? Because they can. Just because they wanted to. And they blessed well. And say, God, come and work that type of love within me. Say, yeah, we can just bring Topper cookies to community. But this week is that week. And I want to love well. And I'm not saying we always need to buy things. But just that heart of over and above, I think it's the heart of Christ. Amen. Then lastly, I wanted to end off. I actually wanted to be done already, but this is good stuff. Trip down memory lane. I want to read a scripture and end off with this. Ephesians 4, verse 15 to 16. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him, of Jesus, who is the head. That is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Or another translation speaks about as each part starts to work properly. So the scripture speaks about a picture of a body, and that the body of Christ, of Jesus Christ, has a power to heal itself through love. And the thing about that is actually it can only do that when the whole body starts to work properly. You get the picture. As every member starts to work properly, we bind in love together, and in love we start to build one another up. And if there's hurt, love covers. If there's need, the love covers. There's something of this body just goes and infiltrate wherever it's needed, and it starts to build itself up. But I love what the first portion of verse 15 says. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow in maturity. And I want to say that if I don't put this into the preach, I think we'll miss the way God loves. And it is the way of speaking the truth, but in a loving way. And what I'm referring to in this is, we can give it a lot of names, and the church has given a lot of names. And I think this discipline, actually, in the body of Christ has gotten bad rep. But I do think that the church of Jesus Christ will never grow into maturity if we do not learn to speak truth into one another's lives and hearts of what we see in a loving way to build somebody else up. The church will miss it if we don't do this. So what I'm referring to with this is going out of our comfort zone in love to people in our community, people around us, and saying, hey, I think, okay, and I'm going to definitely step on landmines now. I do actually think studies is an idol in your life. I do actually think that thing you wanting to cum everything in your life, you're misrepresenting the Lord. I don't think Christ has fully that for you. In love, I think there's a better way. That you're finding your identity in studies, or in your girlfriend or boyfriend, or in what you will become one day. And those things, when you hear it, it grieves us. You're like, no, 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 no. But even as I say that, some of you would be like, oh, it's me. You know that. I want to say, the Lord has saved my life. You hear what I'm saying? It has saved my life. It has saved my marriage. It has saved my Christianity. The Lord has saved all of those things through the body of Christ coming to me in love and saying, Henry, you are missing it. You are missing this in this area. And I wasn't going to share this, but I grew up in a very difficult circumstances. And some of the things that I grew up in was a divorced family. So my parents got divorced, and the thing about that is, I've incredible parents, but just with the whole situation, it does cut you actually. And there was something that I didn't really know when it comes to a healthy relationship, what that should look like. And when you feel that rejection, you try to find comfort and belonging in places. And I grew up from, it might sound strange, but for some of you, this might be your story as well, that from the age of 10, okay, and I'm serious, 10 years old, I've never been single, okay? I've always been in a relationship from the age of 10 all the way up, okay? Even primary school, all the way up to end of high school. And I was in and out and in and out and in and out of relationships. And the thing about that is I never allowed the relationship to be anything other than what I wanted to be. So it was very Henry-centered. And the thing about that is I was seeking for something in ladies that I thought would bring me identity and would bring me something of significance. And two instances specifically, I got saved in the age of 17, and then I was saved throughout my matric. Oh, I'm still saved, but through my matric year, praise the Lord. But through my matric year, and I was in a very, very toxic relationship that the girl was actually a Christian previously, and because she dated me, she fell away from the Lord, and then I got saved, and she didn't serve the Lord, so I can't date the unbeliever. It's just like, whatever your theology is on that, it was messy. And I'm just like, this is unhelpful for us. And at the end, I still remember going on an outreach. It was in that December holiday. And I remember, and you're going to think I'm crazy, but this is actually how deceived we get when hurt gets into the picture. Before it, I knew everybody that was going on the outreach. So I started to chat to this one girl. I'm like, she's nice, I'm nice. So I'm starting to to vibe with this girl. Okay? And there, on our way there, we drove in a bus all the way to Hartenbos. You know when you're going to outreach in Hartenbos, you know it's wild. We're going to Hartenbos, and in the bus, I'm like with my one hand, you know the pinky thing? We were like doing the pinky thing, and then we were like holding hands in the bus and like, oh, we're vibing. That was the one girl. The other girl was also Christian in our youth group. I was matric, she was a year younger, and we were on a regular basis like making out. It was just like normal. She's also on the outreach. Okay? Two girls. One outreach, two girls. yeah. Okay. Then it carried on that on this outreach, everyone there was from Josh Jane, and then there was these two other girls that was not from Josh Jane, but the one was really beautiful. And then I started to go into a relationship on this three-week outreach with her. Three girls, okay? And I couldn't see that was wrong. There was nothing in me that got convicted. And I was really tight with the Lord. I was giving myself to the things of God, mostly. And there was something in me that just couldn't see how blind I was. And the leader of that outreach, he's busy leading one of the Josh Jane churches, sat me down and he's like, Henry, something is wrong here. Can you see it? I'm like, what are you referring to? Like, I'm serious. And I'm not trying to make a joke. I'm really not trying to make a joke. And we sat down. I could take you till today to the amphitheater in Hartenbos to the exact seat that we sat. And for 2 hours, he's trying to explain to me in love the truth of what I'm busy doing and bringing destruction, because I just couldn't see beyond that. And my eyes went and I'm like, I messed up. Like, I messed up badly. And I had to repent, and I went to all of them and all of those type of things. But it's just so scary how you can be deceived and not know the truth, although it's like right there. You have a pimple on your forehead. Can you see it? No. And then I went to Bible school just on this train of thought, and I'm ending with this. Then we're going to go into a time of worship. And I remember... myself and Brigitte, then I I just gave myself to a extended time of just rediscovering Henry, rediscovering the Lord and what the Lord has for me, rediscovering what healthy marriage, healthy relationship actually is. But there was something in me that I loved it, loved the attention of still of the opposite sex. I still loved making jokes or punching them or just joking around with them. And in that it seemed harmless. It seemed like there was nothing wrong with that. But I still remember so many ladies that I hurt through that because I was giving the wrong intentions, and there was like, okay, does he like me? Doesn't he like me? And there was things starting to happen there, and then I would just draw away, and I would do the same here, and I would do the same there. And just all of a sudden, it started to become this murky water. And I remember I went to one of my best friends, and I asked her. It was a lady. I said, would you speak into my life? And I was radical for the Lord, and I wanted to grow in the things of God. And I say, would you speak into my life? And she looked at me, and she didn't hesitate for 2 seconds or 3 seconds. She just looks at me and says, Henry, you love the attention of ladies. It's not honoring to the Lord. That lady's name was Brigitte. And we weren't vibing. I was like... and then she fell for me. No, I'm joking. She was just like putting all the girls there, and then she went for it. But I still remember there was something in me that was, in that moment, I felt grieved. I felt like a plaster was ripped off, and there was just something of deep hurt, and I wanted to cry in that moment, and I'm like, God, I don't want to reflect this of you. I don't want to be known as that guy. And I still remember I avoided girls like the plague after that. Like, I just distanced myself, and I'm like, just anything, Lord, so that I can reflect you well and do this thing well and put things around me. And it feels legalistic, and the world would look at that and say, what is the freedom in that? I'm like, I'm free in Christ. I'm free when I look like him. I don't want that. And there was many of these occasions where people have sat me down and spoke straight into my heart, and it grieved me. It hurt me. Even the other day, yes, I was wrestling with my heart. Somebody just straight shoot over a table about 2 months, a month ago, into something in my heart. And I was wrestling. I wanted to like say, no, you're missing it. But as I once again sat with it, I'm like, there's truth. There's truth in that. And truth in love sets us free, actually. And I think if we truly want to love well, there needs to be a culture, and it needs to be in love. Hear what I'm saying? If you're trying to change somebody just for your own benefit, then it's selfish. It's not Christ's way. We need to continually speak the truth in love to point and bring people towards the Lord. Amen. Let's stand. So, I want us to respond twofold this evening, or two different, respond one way, but I want to call out two different groups this evening. The scripture that I read, the last scripture of that list of scriptures that speaks about that we need to be established in the vertical with our God, that ultimately if we know our Lord, the outflow of that will always be love. And if we don't have that, we won't love one another. That I trust even in our time now, we're going to go into a time of worship, that our cry in our heart will be this: God, I want to abide in you, and you abide in me, and that I would be connected to the life source, and that as every single one of us individually are connected to the head, life will start to flow. Love will start to flow. Forgiveness will start to flow. And as these things of kindness and compassion and the goodness of our God starts to flow as we are connected into him and worshiping him, that ultimately the outflow will be, we will see it here. It will. It needs to, actually. Biblically, it needs to flow out into all of us. And I really have a deep conviction. I love the Afrikaans word, oortuiging. Ek is oortuig, I'm convinced of this, that God can come and do something miraculous this evening in our heart to say, God, I need, not I want to, I need to love well. I need to be what the scripture says. I want to come under the word of God. Shape me, mold me, rid me of my sins and comfort and my personality even that keeps me away of doing the things of God. God, would you come and do this in us? And that is my prayer for us as a congregation. So let's close our eyes. I'm going to pray for us. Firstly, I want to ask if you are here and you do not know the Lord, that you are not connected to Him. The Bible says that you need to be born again of the Spirit to enter into eternal life and in a relationship with our God. And I want to say it is something that is quite obsolete. You are saved or you're not. And there is something that the Lord desires all mankind to be saved and desires relationship with each and every one of us, a love relationship. And if that is you and you do not have a relationship with the Lord, we would love to give an opportunity. The Bible says in Hebrews that there is a day for salvation, and it is called today. The best day for salvation is today. Not tomorrow, not yesterday, it is today, because we do not know what tomorrow will hold in for us. So I want to ask with all eyes closed, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the Lord. If you do not know Him, would you just indicate by raising your hand? I want to pray for you, actually. If there's anyone like that, you do not know Jesus yet, but would love to respond and say, I want to know the Lord. There at the top. Maybe I can ask Chris and Seth just to gather there around them, and Vian and Blake. On that side as well. Anyone else? Glorious. Miraculous is the work of salvation in the heart of a human. Father, I trust in this moment for both of these, the gentleman at the top, lady here on the right. Lord, would you come in this moment? The Bible says that we are actually opposed to God until God comes and does a work within our heart. And Father, the work is this, that you would come and take out a stony heart, a heart that is actually in opposition to the Lord, and invite them in and soften it up and bring them into your kingdom of God. And Father, I thank you that a great exchange is taking place, Lord. The exchange of our sins, our mess, our past, our hurt for freedom, for Christ, for family, for new father, for new purpose, for new desires. All of that is in store for them. So Father, I trust in this moment that you would come and work your will within their heart. I want to say welcome to the family. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wonder if everyone around them could just pray for them. It's not something that we just pray a prayer and then we're in the kingdom of God. And I love how the Bible says we were saved. There was an initial decision. Then we are being saved, present continual as we walk it out. And then it says we will be saved on that last day as the Lord returns. So it is always all three of them. And those that walk the walk and talk the talk will be saved on that last day. Father, I trust for Stellenbosch, 6 p.m. God. As a church now, we want to respond. Maybe the worship team can come up so long. We want to respond and worship this evening, God. And we want to ask you, Lord, by your Spirit for a baptism. A baptism of love, Lord, for openbaring, for revelation, Lord, that you would come and put your fingerprint of love on our hearts, Lord. Father, I trust that as we lift you up and we see your cross and we see what God has done and we see your sacrifice and we see your generosity, that we want to say, we want to respond likewise and love well. Father, would you come and work love within our hearts as a congregation tonight, Lord? Father, grow us in maturity. Grow us to take our eyes off ourselves, onto you and onto others, Lord. Let's respond in worship. We can come to the front and hand over to Kari and the team.